The following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
We're going to start a little series we're doing on the back of Easter, looking at encounters with the risen Jesus. And today, the encounter that Jesus had with Mary Magdalene. Next week, we'll be looking at Peter. And in the morning, we'll look at Thomas. John is going to come and preach in a few moments. But first, Ruth is going to come up and read from John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18, page 1089.
Okay, so John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Ruth. I have got some handouts to hand out. And it's worth saying at the start, there's two typos, which I'm sorry about. The passage is wrong. So add a one. It is John 20. You're in the right place. And I think slightly more disappointingly, I've written the word two, T-O-O, instead of T-O. In my defense, you know, when you're formatting it, you make it very small, so you can't see exactly what you've typed. So you can just get the page on one page. So if that's a bad start, let me pray and ask God to help us, and then we can dip into this wonderful, wonderful passage. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much for the incredible insight into this amazing story as you meet and talk to Mary. And I pray that as we learn from it, we hear you speak to us through it, we would be there in that story and be able to learn loads about what it means that you are now alive and have ascended to the Father's side. And that would have a huge impact on our lives this evening as we look at it together. Amen. Fantastic. I wonder if you have ever been in a situation where someone has responded to something in a completely inappropriate way because they've misunderstood what's happening. So, an example could be, say you're watching a game of football or rugby and one team scores, and that's the team that everyone's not supporting, but someone cheers because they haven't quite realised the colour that the team they're all supporting are playing in, which I think is easy to do. Away strips are confusing, and that's obviously the wrong reaction because they're supporting the team that haven't scored. I don't know if this has happened to anyone. I won't say whether this happened to me, but maybe you're interested in dating someone and you send them a message and that person isn't interested and they send maybe too subtle a message which sort of says, not quite interested, but like to be friends. And maybe the person sending the first text doesn't quite pick up on that. So instead of getting the message, they start planning the first dates, maybe looking at wedding rings, things like that. And their emotions are going into overdrive, but they've misunderstood. I don't know if you saw this one in the news. So Kamala Harris, who's the vice president in America, she went on a trip to Puerto Rico, and as she came off the plane, there was someone singing a song, and she was smiling at the song, clapping along. And it turned out the song was in Spanish, or I think it's Spanish they speak in Puerto Rico, and she can't have understood, because apparently it was a protest song at her visit to the island. And you could just see one of her aides whisper into her ear what they were singing, and quickly the clapping stopped. But with all those examples, you've got your own examples. The response is wrong, it's inappropriate, but that's only because the understanding of what's going on is incorrect. They've misunderstood what's happening, so therefore they respond in a way that is inappropriate. And that is what we're going to see happen here with Mary. In fact, in this passage, there's two things that she gets wrong. There's two lessons that she needs to learn. But what we're not going to do is spend our time sort of saying, oh, Mary, she got these things wrong. I reckon if I was in Mary's situation, I would have made exactly the same mistakes that she made. And actually, it's so wonderful that she made these mistakes, because we can learn from them and we can see what Jesus has to teach us by showing us this conversation. So rather than thinking, oh, I can't believe she made these mistakes, tonight we're going to get into our shoes and see what was she feeling, what was she thinking, what was she seeing, what were those emotions that were going through her, what were the maybe incorrect understandings that Jesus needed to correct so she could respond in the right way. And that means we can respond in the right way too. So two little lessons that she learnt, and we can learn from those as well. So the first lesson that Mary had to learn was that she didn't need to cry because Jesus was alive. So that is in verses 11 to 16. And a little bit of context. So in the beginning bit of the chapter, what's happened is Mary and John and Peter have all gone to the tomb and they found that it's empty. And at that point, we're told that John believes. John and Peter then leave the scene, but Mary is still there. And that's where we pick up the story. And look at what's happening with Mary. Verse 11, the first half, it says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying." And we can completely understand why it is that Mary would be crying. Jesus, one of her best friends, she was one of his closest followers, had died. And it wasn't just that he was close to her, he was perfect. He was the one that all her hopes had been set on, and cruelly he'd be taken away from her. And maybe she was coming to terms with that slightly, and maybe there was that sense of knowing that, okay, I'll come, I'll see the body, I'll anoint it, and that will give some closure, maybe, and then only to find that the body had been taken. That one thing, that had gone. I'm not surprised it was too much. I think, had I been in that situation, had I been feeling the things she had felt, I definitely would have cried. Let's see what happens next. So we carry on reading. "As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. So, well, they asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?'" So they are getting straight to that response that she is feeling, and they're asking that question, "Why are you crying?" And we carry on reading. "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. It's a very legitimate question to think, okay, so she turns around, she sees Jesus, but why is it that she doesn't realize that it is Jesus? We're not told, but one thing that can make us sure of is that is the last thing she was expecting, is for Jesus to be there, because in her mind, Jesus is dead. So if there is someone standing up there talking to her, the last person she expects that to be is Jesus, because in her head, he is dead, he has gone. So if someone's speaking to her, it's not going to be Jesus. What does Jesus say? He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." So Mary still doesn't get it. And do you notice how Jesus asks exactly the same question as the angels? "Woman, why are you crying?" Because Jesus is alive, that's the complete wrong way to react to everything that's going on. Crying is not the right emotion to feel. But she doesn't realize. It needs something else. It needs someone to speak her name. Someone that you truly love, speaking your name is one of the most powerful things. I learned this the hard way. I was babysitting for James Bunyan, who works here. He had a little girl called Bethany. I don't think she realized I was babysitting, and she was very unsettled. And I thought, I was a bit nervous about what to do, because I thought, if I go in, it could make things worse, because not only is she unhappy, she realized her parents are not there. So I thought, I'm going to try and pretend to be James, and I'm going to say her name. She will hear that dad's voice saying Bethany, and it will make her feel better. So I just went, "Bethany." And needless to say, it didn't work. And she cried more. Because she knows her dad's voice saying her name. I can pull that off. But the opposite is true. And verse 16, look what Jesus does. Jesus said to her, "Mary." And that is when Mary knows it is Jesus. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And I think in that reaction, we're not told explicitly, but we can be fairly sure that the crying stops. Because the crying was because she thought Jesus was dead. But now she gets it. There is Jesus. She finally sees. She has no more need to cry. Crying would have been so appropriate if Jesus really was dead and was staying dead. I would have cried in that situation. But because the truth was that Jesus was alive, actually, the opposite was the way she should have responded. So often in this world, a world of death, crying is appropriate. It is the right way to respond. And that happens all the time. I was listening to an audiobook, and I was really enjoying it, and then the main character died, and I find myself walking along the high street as a tear in my eye. And more seriously, I'm sure that lots of us would have responded to the news that Callum had passed away by crying. And that is the right way to respond. That is appropriate. However, what we get in all these interactions with Jesus in this little series we're having is a little sneak peek into a future that Jesus' resurrection is going to bring on. You see, she learned that she didn't need to cry because Jesus had defeated death and was physically right there with her. And that gives us a little taster of an amazing time that we can look forward to. So it's very exciting this evening. Naomi brought us lots of cookies that we can eat. And I've got a tiny little bit of cookie here. I'm not going to eat because it will just stay in my teeth. But if I had a little nibble of this, it wouldn't satisfy me. I wouldn't be full up. But I would know that after the service, I've got something really exciting to look forward to, which is to eat a really enjoyable cookie. And this situation, it doesn't satisfy. We're not there yet. But it gives us a tiny taster of the wonderful time that we have to look forward to. You see, on that day, when Jesus comes back again, it won't just be inappropriate to cry, like Mary was crying here. We won't be able to cry, because Jesus will have defeated death fully. You might hear that and think that's impossible to even contemplate or imagine, living in a world like that. But it will come about because, just like Mary, we will be face to face with Jesus. The tears stopped as she realized there was Jesus with her. And that is what it will be like for us, a time of no more tears, because Jesus' resurrection, his defeat of death, will be final and fully. No more tears, death beaten, face to face with Jesus. And just as maybe right now you need a little nibble of a cookie to think about what you've got to look forward to, that's kind of what we do when we hear about this encounter. We need that little taste just to remember how amazing that's going to be. We, with Mary, can experience that amazing when the tears stop as she experiences what it means that Jesus defeats death. It's going to be wonderful. So in that lesson, as Mary realized that her crying was wrong because Jesus is alive, she then gets something else wrong as well that we can learn from too. So, secondly, firstly, we learned there's no need to cry because Jesus is alive. Secondly, she learns that she shouldn't hold on to Jesus because he is ascending to heaven. And we get that in verse 17 to 18. Let me read verse 17. Follow along carefully. Here's what happens. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Do not hold on to me. So obviously at this point, Mary, maybe on her knees, is holding on to Jesus. She doesn't want to let him go. But Jesus' response to that is very surprising. And I found it quite confusing. I get why Mary wants to hold on to Jesus. She thought that he was dead. He's here. And the last thing she wants is for him to go again. But if Jesus is going to say, "Don't hold on to me," then I would expect him to say something like, "Don't hold on to me. I've got a really important job that you need to go and do. Don't hold on to me. I'm not going anywhere." Or, "Don't hold on to me. Look, we're going to have loads of opportunities to spend time together." Instead, he says, look down, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." I thought, why is Jesus saying that? I was very confused. I Googled it. Apparently, some people say that this is one of the most complicated verses in John's Gospel. So I thought, oh no, help. So, what is it about Jesus ascending to the Father that means it's not right for Mary to hold on to him? Well, I did a bit of research on what is going on with the ascension that makes it so important. And there's three things I learned about that I'd love to share that maybe make sense of why Jesus says, "Don't hold on to me because I haven't yet ascended to the Father." Because it might be that like me, you think that is a bit confusing. But maybe that's because we don't know lots about the ascension. This funny thing where the little toddlers were learning about it this morning, where Jesus went up into the clouds to go and be with God. Why is that so important that Mary shouldn't hold on to him? Well, here's three things about Jesus ascending which might help us answer that. You see, the first thing is the ascension is when Jesus truly returns home. I think I always think of the resurrection as job done. He dies, but then Jesus comes back to life, and then it's mission accomplished, tick, the job's done. But actually, the earth where we are, that isn't Jesus' home. Jesus' rightful place is sitting at the right hand of the Father on his throne in heaven. If you're a Formula One fan, the end of the resurrection, that's just a pit stop. The finish line is when Jesus is in heaven. Or I think about when I might drive home to see my parents. There's a fantastic service station on the way, but no matter how good the food is there, you're not going to stop there and say, "Job done," because it's not until I reach my parents that I've reached my destination. I'm there with my mother and my father. And the ascension is such an important part of what Jesus is going to do, because it's when he finally goes home. And that is because he is not just a man, he is God and King. So maybe Mary holding on to Jesus, not wanting to let him go, there's a sense to where Jesus is saying, "Don't hold on to me. I'm not staying here. I need to go to the Father because that's who I am." And maybe, we don't know for sure, Mary needed to remember that. Maybe learn a lesson. Remember, oh yeah, I shouldn't keep Jesus here on earth because that's not his home. He isn't just a human. He is God. And his rightful home is in heaven. So she shouldn't hold on to him. That's one thing. Another thing about Jesus ascending into heaven is what he's doing right now. And the Bible tells us Jesus in heaven is mediating for us. So he's died on the cross. He saved us so we can go free. We don't have to be punished, but we can enjoy eternal life with Jesus. But every time we do something wrong, I don't know what's happened today, but at some point we've all sinned, we've all done something we know we shouldn't. And at that point, the Bible tells us that Jesus is sat next to the Father, mediating for us, saying to God, I've died for that sin. You don't need to hold it against them. Isn't that amazing? But Jesus is only doing that because he has ascended to the Father's side. So how does that apply to Mary? Well, it made me think, the problem with that, with Mary holding on to Jesus, we should definitely hold on to Jesus. But actually, the best time to hold on to Jesus isn't him here on earth, but is actually holding on to Jesus in heaven. We're depending on him as our mediator. We're not trusting on ourselves, our ability to make things right. We mess up. We have to hold on to Jesus. We do that because he's in heaven mediating for us. I think Mary had the right idea. She knew she had to depend completely on Jesus. But she got the time wrong. She needed to let Jesus go up, to go to heaven, so that he can mediate for us. So we can copy Mary's example, her desperation, her reliance completely on Jesus. And the best time to do it is now, because he's in heaven mediating for us. Third and final thing. Jesus has told his disciples, and we can read about it in John's Gospel, that he has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us, and he's then going to come and take us to be with him. So if Jesus doesn't ascend to heaven, then he doesn't come back, make an amazing new creation, and take us to be there. So if Jesus stayed here on earth, that's not happening. But as we saw earlier, that little taste of a time when there will be no crying because Jesus fully defeats death and takes us to be with him. That only happens first if he goes to be with the Father. But then we can look forward to him coming back. So that's why Mary should not hold on to Jesus. She should not do everything to try and keep him here. Sometimes I find myself thinking, wouldn't it have been better if Jesus never ascended? He stayed on earth doing miracles, showing people that he was real, all the wonderful things he could be doing. And maybe I'm a bit like Mary in that situation. Because she's saying, don't hold on to just an earthly human Jesus. Hold on to a Jesus ascended to heaven, in his rightful place, mediating for us, who will one day come back to take us to be with him. Mary is such a wonderful example here. Two things that she gets wrong, just like we would in her situation. But in doing so, she teaches us two such helpful, wonderful, valuable lessons. There is no need to cry for Mary because Jesus is alive. And that points us to a point in history when there will be no crying because Jesus will fully defeat death. And we, like Mary was, will be face to face with Jesus. And Mary wasn't to hold on to Jesus on earth because he needed to ascend to heaven to go to his rightful place on the throne next to the Father, mediating for us, ready to come back again. So let's hold on to him as he is in heaven. Why don't I pray? Dear Lord, thank you so much for Mary and her powerful emotions she felt, the love she had for Jesus, and the lessons that you taught her. Help us learn those lessons with her. Thank you that it was wrong for her to cry because Jesus was alive. And thank you that there'll be a time that we can look forward to as we have a little taste of that feeling, knowing that one day we will enjoy in fullness when you come back and there'll be no crying because death is defeated and we are with you. And thank you so much that Jesus ascended. He is in his rightful place. He is mediating for us and one day he's going to come again. Thank you that he's ascended. Help us to be like Mary, holding on to Jesus, clinging to him with dear life, putting all our trust in him as he mediates for us. and deals with our sin so that we can live with him forever. Thank you that one day that will happen, and it will be an amazing, amazing day.